last time on Incredible Critics.
How tall was it?
19 inches. And you can now say her, not it.
Ooh, I don't know, man.
You just said it, and that's rude.
My theory is, until they can really take care of themselves, it's thorny.
We are the Incredible Critics. Incredible not because we're great, but because our credibility should seriously be questioned. I am Ben Franco. This week, for the first time in like 3 weeks, which is like half of the episodes that we have, all three of us are back.
Look out.
Tim and Frank are joining me today.
Look out.
Tim, how are you doing? Welcome back.
I'm good, man. I just had a whirlwind adventure across the Midwest through a lot of cornfields, but I'm back.
That is all the Midwest is, isn't just corn.
Lots of corn.
And Frankie, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. So, Tim, I saw, was it the first time in 9 years that you were together with both of your siblings?
Oh, yeah, with my three other siblings.
Sorry,
so there's
three.
Yeah, so there's four of us. What we figure is maybe three of us have been together random times here and there, but not all four of us probably since I got married, which is almost 9 years ago. So, yeah, that's real cray cray. But yeah, it was good. You know, it's sad when you lose a family member, but then it's also it was like an awesome family reunion of sorts that might not ever happen again. So that was a cool kind of thing that ended up coming out of the whole situation.
I have some family that I wish I could go 9 years without seeing. You guys should get you guys should get one of those family reunions going like every couple of years. You know, we all get the t-shirts and you show up at like one of those big campsites and play volleyball and
Frankie, I was waiting for you to be like, "Sorry if you're listening, Nana."
Nana definitely doesn't listen to the podcast. So that's why I can get away with saying that.
Oh, okay, good. It's good.
She only listens to the episodes that you're not on.
She actually asked me the other day if it was coming out on vinyl, and I said, yes, I'll let you know when. So until
we're
that happens.
We're going to cut a rug.
Frankie, anything interesting happening in your life this week?
No, same old. Stuck in the house, rehabilitating my knee and just doing work. So I've been watching a lot of TV and doing a lot of work for my job. But besides that, pretty boring.
Frankie wants to do an episode with all the shows that he has been watching during this time because he's been binge watching a ton. We may do that next week. We'll see. Frankie, Ooh. Just real quick, what are a couple of the highlights for you?
I'm surprised by how much good material has been on Netflix, like just, you know, keeping it that way. But, you know, definitely Ozark on Netflix. And I just watched Atypical, which I really loved and thought was hilarious. And then I watched, not on Netflix, but I was able to watch all of the Rick and Mortys, which I had never seen any of them before. And that made my whole entire, disability worth it. Or
it made your month.
Yeah, because I found Rick and Morty, and I don't think I can ever go back. Like, every Sunday, I'm just waiting for the episode. And the only TV show that I have to watch live every week is Game of Thrones. Besides that, every other TV show for the rest of the year, I'm fine with waiting till the next day to watch it without commercials. Rick and Morty has now been added to that list. Like, I need to watch it every Sunday.
That list of two.
The list of two.
Can I just say, if you haven't watched it, I'm not going to go so far as to say that it's good. But
oh, no.
But the show Riverdale is way better than it ever
I watched all of Riverdale and I loved it. You gotta love Archie and Betty.
Look, I don't want to watch Smallville where nobody has abilities. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's better
than
my
fair.
My fiance refused to watch it because in the first episode they try out for cheerleading and they do this like dance routine and she's like, okay, well that's not high school cheerleading. Not watching the show anymore. She cheerleaded all through high school and college, and she was like, that's the biggest disgrace, the cheerleaders everywhere in the world, and I'm not watching the show.
I thought that was cheerleading. Anyway, so this week, we first want to start talking about Disney made a giant splash this week, which then rippled and then wasn't as big of a splash at all. So they announced this week that they were going to be starting up their own streaming services. They were buying part of MLBAM, which is owned by Major League Baseball. The back end of a lot of streaming services is actually owned by the MLB, which is kind of, I always found that fascinating. That's
real crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Major League Baseball essentially put a bunch of money into figuring out how to stream and then started selling that back end to a bunch of other streaming services. So Disney is reportedly going to be purchasing or having a large stake in that service. And then is going to be launching their own streaming service. So when they first announced it, that was kind of a big splash because they are probably the only person that can come in and beat Netflix or really take down Netflix. But then they announced that they are still in talks with Netflix to keep Marvel and Star Wars on Netflix. What did you guys think of this Walt Disney announcement?
So one thing just to note before we get into this, they've said pretty obviously that the shows like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, the Marvel Netflix shows are going to stay on Netflix through at least the next few years. Everything else, I guess, is on the table, right? In negotiations is what it looks like for Disney to keep Marvel and Star Wars stuff on Netflix or to just do their own thing. And Ben, I don't know, did you mention, in case people don't know, Disney owns ESPN, right?
Right. And that's kind of where I think the major aspect of it is. ESPN streaming has never worked well because it's tied to a cable subscription. Like the only legitimately most people like 30 and under, and even a lot of people older than that, half the reason why they buy a cable subscription is for ESPN. So the ESPN streaming, like they've slowly with cord cutters, ESPN has been losing subscribers slowly over the past few years. And I think this is finally their response to that is, well, fine. If cord cutters are going to take over the market, then we need to provide a service for them. So that's kind of the bigger aspect of it to me. But Frankie, what did you think about that whole announcement?
I don't know. At first, it's weird how much you forget how much Disney owns. As we sit there and I read the announcement and I was like, oh, so all the Disney movies are going to be on a streaming service. Good luck with that. Like people who don't have kids aren't going to care. I'll just go to the movies and see them and that's it. And then I was like, oh wait, they own Star Wars. Oh wait, they own Marvel. Oh wait, they own ESPN. Okay. Maybe they have a lot of stuff that I watch. and
Pixar. Pixar in there as well.
That's true. And Pixar. At first, I was underwhelmed, and then I was a little overwhelmed, and then as I see it playing out, I can kind of care less. I don't think it's going to affect too much of a market. I mean, it's streaming. If you're streaming things anyway, you're gonna get it. If you're not a streamer, then you're gonna you're gonna have cable. So it's not gonna really make a difference. I don't own Netflix just for the Marvel TV shows, and I don't I have cable, so I can watch ESPN on cable, so it doesn't really affect me, so I don't really think it's going to make that big of a difference. I know it'll affect Netflix a little bit, but I don't think it's really going to hurt Netflix. Netflix has so much more to offer than Disney does.
So then question, if ESPN streaming service, let's say they put it at like $8 to $10 a month, or even up as high as $15, would you cancel your cable subscription in order to just go entirely cord cutter?
No. Well, I don't know. Yeah, you have different people in the house. So that's what kind of affects that. I would cancel my cable subscription now if I could. The only reason we have it is because there's someone in my household who I won't name, but like needs to watch all the Bravo and MTV shows.
It's your dog.
Let's just be honest.
He loves Bravo and HGTV and MTV and Lifetime and all those reality shows. So he has to watch them. So that's why we have it. But I just recently, it wasn't too long ago, a few months ago, that Hulu announced their $40 a month TV service, which is probably what I would go with if I was to cut my
streaming TV.
If I was to cut my cord right now, that's what I would go with. I probably wouldn't get Disney.
I'm not gonna lie, Hulu, like, they are looking a lot more appetizing, I would say. Like, I beta tested Hulu when it was free, and when they started making people pay for different things, I bounced right away. But Hulu is getting, they're getting more original shows that I'm actually interested in this year, next year. Now they're coming out with that, like you said, they have that service out where you can cut your cord and go full on streaming real TV networks. Oh, that's tempting.
I tried out all of them because you can pretty much get a free month of all of those different services. I found the best one. So I tried out, let me see, Sling. I haven't been able to try YouTube yet because it's not in our area, but YouTube also has a streaming TV service. I don't think I tried out Hulu because that one wasn't out yet. But when I tried it out, the best one that I found was actually PlayStation View. It has the best interface, the best assortment of channels for the lowest price. I think like the one that you would want to get is, I believe it's $30 a month or $35. And it's really solid. But yeah, to me, this whole thing, if Disney doesn't launch it with Marvel and Star Wars, it's a complete non-starter. If they did launch it with Marvel and Star Wars, that's reason enough that a ton of people would be forced to have a Disney subscription. But without that, it's like, okay, what? I'm fine without having that. That's okay with me. So
you know,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, something I was gonna tie into this a little bit is just that Disney does have really close ties with everything that Apple does. Pixar was, you know, half owned or whatever by Steve Jobs.
Right.
There was a lot, you know, they're always really close, hand in hand. I mean, what are the only characters you can currently get on your Apple Watch? Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Right? And Minnie Mouse. It makes me wonder, because there's been so many rumors of Apple moving its TV stuff to, okay, you get an Apple TV, now you can do TV subscription services, or, you know, doing all kinds of different things like that. They already have iTunes subscriptions to just shows, but if we see this kind of like, CBS Now is really pumping their own separate streaming TV service.
Right.
CW is trying to grow their CW Seed streaming service quite a bit. There's a lot of these other networks that have streaming services now. I think ABC has something like that too. And I think if we see a giant like Disney moving towards that, then I don't know, that's something that I could see everything moving towards those kind of subscriptions. Like even HBO now, right?
Yeah.
Frankie, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the one who's the big Game of Thrones nerd. But HBO, you can now subscribe to HBO without a cable provider.
Correct. Yeah, you can
correct?
Do just HBO Now. Yeah.
In some way. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes me wonder. I see Disney doing this. I actually think immediately, is Apple like? Are they doing this because they know Apple has something coming out? Are they doing this because they know everybody else is already doing it and they can do it best and just cut and run off Netflix and not have to worry about it? Because even like Ben, like you were just saying, if they do bring Star Wars and Marvel to the table, it'll probably be a must buy. If they don't, there's still so many people that are such Disney nerds, super nerds, right? I know tons of people that are just so head over heels for Disney that if Disney announced, hey, you can get all of our, you can watch all of our movies, you can watch this back catalog of all these, you know, thousand old movies that we made, you can do this and that and the other thing if you subscribe to our service, they're going to get a lot of people. I mean, they won't get everybody. It won't be a must buy like if Marvel and Star Wars were on there, but it would be for tons of people still. And you know, I wonder too, again, just on Apple's terms, what are they doing? When are they going to move forward more with that?
Yeah, I mean, that connection is interesting because at the last Apple event, the Apple TV was mentioned for like 30 seconds. Or not the Apple event, but WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference. Yeah. It was mentioned for like 30 seconds, and it was really weird. And it made me think that they had something else to announce that wasn't ready yet. So I'm kind of reading the tea leaves to say that they're going to have a bigger announcement later this year about the Apple TV. So who knows? That could be an indicator for that. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Well, really quick, the Apple TV hasn't been updated in 658 days. Okay.
Someone's counting.
On the same hand, neither has the Mac Mini. The Mac Mini hasn't been updated in 1,033 days. I only know this because I go to the buyer's guide
right.
on MacRumors.com. It makes me wonder, because of those two products and the kind of the place that they're at, what if they combined them into one product and the new Apple TV was basically a Mac Mini that they launched their new streaming services with? Maybe they're not updating the Apple TV until they have all their ducks in a row for this kind of stuff, and they can say, hey, we have Disney's new streaming service available right now. We have, you know, CBS. We have this. We have this. We have this. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't think that they would combine the Apple TV and Mac Mini because I think they're two very different products. But I do wonder what their plan is for the Mac Mini. And I told my brother-in-law, Andrew, shout out, Andrew Vancott, what up?
Yo, Andrew, what up?
That we were talking about the Mac Mini because he's thinking about buying one. So I told him I could get him 2 minutes on our podcast. Which, by the way, if you want us to talk about something, Facebook us, send us something on Twitter. We'll probably talk about it because there's only about, like, I don't know, five of you. And we got to appeal to our audience.
Thank you. Thank each and every one of you, five wonderful people that are so beautiful people.
So the Mac Mini, like you said, hasn't been updated in, what's that, close to 4 years? Like, real quick, yes or no, are they going to do anything with the Mac Mini this year? Frankie, what do you think?
I don't care. I didn't even know we still had a Mac Mini out there.
I think they might wait till next year. Like, they literally updated all the other computers 70 days ago at WWDC, right, around that
right.
time. Except they didn't update the Mac Pro, but they promised they have something in the works for the Mac Pro. And they have said that the Mac Mini is still important to them, but they're not really, that's pretty much it.
And coming from Apple, that could just mean, hey, we still want you to buy these. So, hey, yeah, it's important. Please keep buying them because we have a warehouse full of them. I couldn't see them doing a massive overhaul. They could possibly update just the specs of the current model, which I think is still long overdue, but most likely I kind of doubt that they'll do anything, any type of major revamp. Much more likely that they'll do a revamp of the Apple TV along with the iPhone announcement than the Mac Mini, but it is Apple, so you never know. So this is going to make the third week in a row that we've talked about Justice League. So
nothing
I want to vow
that.
Now that if you hate
Uh-oh.
Superhero
Uh-oh.
Movies... Or, well, I'll just say Justice League because I can't say all superhero movies. If you care about the Justice League, next week I promise not to talk about the Justice League. But this week,
you say that now, bro. You say it now. Something's gonna happen.
One of the TV shows I'm watching is Young Justice on Netflix.
Well,
uh oh.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. This week, okay. A couple of major things that I just wanted to talk about quickly with you guys since you've been talking about the DC Marvel Universe. First, Ben Affleck came out and talked, I think it was to Entertainment Weekly, and was describing the Justice League movie because the Justice League movie has had to switch directors, and it's pretty late in the game. They were done with production, and then Zack Snyder had to step down because his daughter committed suicide. And then Joss Whedon took over the film. And so talking about that change this late in the game, Ben Affleck said something along the lines, it was very political, but it was something along the lines of, like, you know, working with two different directors with really different directions for the movie has been a really, like, interesting experience, essentially.
Well, you got to look. That Josh Whedon was just supposed to do post-production, and then they had to do over $25 million in reshoots.
Right, which it's not uncommon
for crazy.
Movies to do reshoots, yeah. but that does seem a bit extensive.
That's a lot of money well, to throw into reshoots.
And that's not counting the newest reshoots that they're doing because of the dark demeanor that it has. They said it was Cyborg's character was too dark, so they're reshooting all of his stuff.
And apparently they've also scrapped the entire original ending that they had shot. And are because what I heard was that they were going to be doing like a major cliffhanger, so essentially not resolving the movie until Justice League 2. And so instead, they've decided to actually give it a proper ending, which is a major, I mean, that's a major plus because I think that would have been a catastrophe if they had tried to leave that big of a cliffhanger. Guys, what do you think that, I mean, still hopeful for this movie, or does this make you kind of just really give it a lot of doubt? Frankie, what do you think?
I'm hopeful for the movie until I watch it. I don't okay. like I think that's how I go into all the DC movies. Honestly, even the Marvel movies, I'm hopeful about it until I watch it, and then I'll have my opinion on it. But regardless of what news there is or what comes out, I'm going to watch the movie. So I'm going to go and pay for it and go see the movie. So they're getting my money, and I have no doubt that, I mean, even look at Suicide Squad. It got horrible reviews, but it still did really well at the box office. So they're going to make their money back. They're going to make a lot of money with the movie. It's just a matter of how well it's viewed. I mean, they thought Wonder Woman, the studio thought Wonder Woman was going to be a disappointment, and it broke tons of records. So we'll see what happens with this movie. I think that I still have hope for it. I think it's going to do real well. And I think that as long as they tell the story the right way, and that it'll end up being an okay movie. I don't think it'll be bad by any means. And we were talking originally about that one article that said that it was...
Well, there's some that said it was unwatchable, yeah, right? That the original cut was
right,
unwatchable.
But that was also... If you look at that article, it was from BatmanOnFilm.com or whatever. Like, who is that? Like, I don't... It's not a source that I respect by any way or shape or form. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a great movie, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to be entertained for 2 hours. You know, your favorite characters are in there, and they're all working together to fight a common enemy, just like the Avenger movies. I think it's going to be a good time.
Tim, what are your thoughts given all of this recent news surrounding the movie?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's common for movies to do reshoots. I think the biggest thing that worries me, and I'm sorry, it's hard to put into words because I'm constantly processing, like, with this stuff. It's hard because there's just so many bad, even if they're just rumors, there's a sliver of truth usually in everything. And so what worries me the most is that there's just so many bad rumors,
right?
There's just so many, like, just one that says it's unwatchable, one that said you know, Cyborg, they're saying Cyborg's tone is totally wrong, we let basically Zack Snyder take Cyborg in a completely different direction than the movie that we want to have Cyborg, you know, have the Cyborg movie that we're gonna do. So we got to change the whole thing if we're going to do reshoots. Well, we might as well take out this cliffhanger because if it was unwatchable, you know, it's like all these, it's just so many. It's a lot because that's not even, that's probably like half of the rumors, right? Right? I mean, you know, the other thing is whenever Ben Affleck says things, when he's quoted, I just like don't believe him anymore.
He's so political about it. Like, he's so politically correct.
Well, he's so political. Literally the day before he was taken off of the Batman movie, he was like, yeah, I'm really excited. This is going to be great. You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, he was just really, what I would say is he was towing the company line.
For sure.
You know, like, so hard. Maybe he's contractually obligated. Maybe because of the Batman v Superman sad Affleck meme, he's, you know, the pendulum has swung to the complete opposite of like, well, you know what? They got that meme now. I got to be so happy about everything that nobody worries about anything anymore. I would take like Ben Affleck's everything as like with a grain of salt because homeboy, he's just smiling too much these days. It worries me.
Yeah, I'm also worried about the movie. I like Joss Whedon. I like what he does. He could put a positive spin on this, and then everything ends up being great in the end. I mean, most notably, the most recent movie to be talked about because of the amount of reshoots that it had was Star Wars Rogue One, which had a ton of reshoots afterwards. And I would argue that Star Wars Rogue One may be the best Star Wars movie, in my opinion.
That's a fight for another day.
It worked out real well.
That is a fight for another day. I would argue that. It could end up working out and be fine, but at least doesn't give me hope, like you're saying, Tim. The last thing we want to talk about, Frankie and Tim, well, like we said last week, we were going to talk about The Dark Tower this week. Have both seen The Dark Tower, starring Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey. If you haven't seen the trailer for The Dark Tower, go watch it. It really looks like an interesting concept for a movie. I wanted to start out with a quote from Mike Ryan at UpRocks regarding The Dark Tower. So his quote, I haven't seen the movie, but I just find this quote to be, I don't know. You guys can tell me whether or not this says anything about the movie or not. The Dark Tower is so astoundingly awful that when you leave the theater, you'll likely be less mad that you wasted your time than flabbergasted that something like this could A, happen, and B, be released as something that theoretically is going to launch a multi-platform franchise. That is the most scathing movie review sentence I think I have ever read. Tim, what were your thoughts of The Dark Tower?
So I'll preface my thoughts with I have read all the books.
Okay.
Maybe there's some like side story books I did not read. I enjoy all of the audiobooks as well. And I'll say that it was disappointing from the aspect of reading the books. In my mind, just looking at it as a movie, I thought it really wasn't that great of a movie. I thought there was a lot like too much things just being explained just because maybe they didn't, you know, there were rumors that they recut a bunch of the movie, and that's why it got delayed a lot, because people weren't understanding what was going on. Like, it was too confusing. And I wonder if they just tried to add a bunch of dialogue of people explaining things to kind of smooth that stuff over. The problem is the Dark Tower series is so ginormous in scale, there's no way they could put it in a movie. What I think happened, and I said this to Frankie, what I think happened is they went into this saying, you know what, we really want to launch this into a multi-movie, multi-media, TV, everything kind of big deal. And the only way to do that is to make a movie as our pitch, right? Like, let's make a pitch movie to sell to the world and hopefully people buy it. And at this point, I don't know how it's just hasn't done very well in the box office. And I can understand why. Probably the really diehard people went to see it right away and then were disappointed. And if there's no word of mouth, it doesn't spread, you know? I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts in a nutshell.
So if you haven't seen the trailer, or you have no idea what The Dark Tower is, the IMDb summary is the last gunslinger, Roland Deschain, and I'm probably saying that horribly, but Roland Deschain has been locked in an eternal battle with Walter Odin, also known as the Man in Black. What? Wait, what?
Look, I thought you said
batter, cookie
batter? Battle.
I don't get it.
I was making fun of you.
Oh,
never mind.
Yeah,
never, it's okay.
Maybe.
Keep going.
All right, let me start over.
It's Deschain. Deschain. Just start over and say Deschain.
Deschain. Okay. Now, I'm keeping chain. All of this in there,
okay.
But.
Just kidding. No, that's fine. Okay.
This is how we do it.
He's in a
Anyways,
battle.
He's in a battle.
The last gunslinger, Roland Deschain, has been locked in an eternal battle with Walter Odin, also known as the Man in Black, determined to prevent him from toppling the Dark Tower, which holds the universe together. With the fate of the worlds at stake, good and evil will collide in the ultimate battle, as only Roland can defend the tower from the Man in Black. Frankie, you hadn't read the book. So what was your thought coming out of the movie?
I have not read the books. First off, let me tell you, that was a great synopsis. Did you write that yourself? Because that was like pretty
no,
much
IMDb.
Spot on. Oh, okay.
Nope. No, IMDb.
Yeah, so I have not read the books. I liked the movie, but I will say, here's the thing. Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey, which is not an actor that I really love in the last five.
Wait, Idris Elba?
No, Matthew McConaughey. I love Idris Elba.
Oh, all right.
Matthew McConaughey, I haven't really liked anything he's done in the last like 10 years. But Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey, and the kid, Tom Taylor, they were amazing. I mean, they're majority of the movie, and I thought all their acting was great. I know.
Yeah, it's true.
I will say this movie definitely made money for any kind of TV series that comes out, and made money for Stephen King, because I want to go and read all the books. So I left the movie and I was like, wow,
okay.
I really want to read the books, because
that's good.
I know that movie was nowhere near. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It was a good movie, but it was nowhere near what the book was going to be. And I knew that going into it, because when you have a series, because Tim, what is it, like 7 books long, not counting the comics and side stories?
It's got to be 7 or 8 books.
You can't fit
7 or 8 books
into an hour and a half. I was very surprised that it wasn't a 2-hour movie, or even like a 2-hour and 20-minute movie or something like that. But an hour and a half, I knew they were going to leave a lot of stuff out. It was going to be a little confusing, and it was going to be rushed. But that aside, I still liked it. I still was entertained by the movie for 90 minutes. It just made me really want to go read more source material.
Now, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Dark Tower movie isn't necessarily telling the story of the books.
It's not really, so it's not really doing the whole books. It's now... technically, if you want to get real nerdy about
it, as we do,
it is a sequel. It's a sequel to all of the books. And I don't really want to give too much away about that. Technically, it's a sequel.
They were dead the whole time. Boom.
They everybody was in the afterlife just kind of hanging out, and then they walked together into
the light. For the kid who could see all of them.
Except for the kid. Listen, so... like what Frankie is saying, I think that bodes well for somebody who, like Frankie, who didn't know anything about it, who's saying, you know what, this is interesting enough that I would maybe read the books, and I would maybe check out the show, you know, about young Roland, and I would maybe see another one. That's good. That's probably really good. And maybe that was what they're shooting for. You know, maybe it doesn't do super great. If it does good enough, they're like, you know what? We can build off of this. Now people kind of have... that's the thing about it. After the movie, when you walk out, okay, you kind of have an understanding of the basics of the universe, right? Roland is the good guy. He's a gunslinger. That means he's good with guns. This kid is basically has magic powers in his mind or something. The Dark Tower is a thing. You know, these people are bad. You get all of that from it. That's why I said it kind of feels like it's the pitch, right? The whole movie is the pitch. You know, we edited it so that you can, here's our pitch. Please check it out. You know, try to understand it. And, maybe like Frankie, tell me, you know, would you go, if they made a sequel movie right after this, would you be in to go pay money to see it?
Ooh, a sequel movie? Probably not.
If they did a movie,
not. Just because.
You say no?
Yeah. Here's the thing: they're gonna make their money back on production. You know, it will do well worldwide. They'll make all their money back when it releases in China and other places in Europe. So, I don't think they're worried about that. But I don't think they'll make a sequel. I think they'll go straight with the TV show, and that's kind of how it should be done. And if you want my opinion, I think a lot of movies that are made today should probably be made into a miniseries or some kind of TV show. Like, I think this would do great. This would do great on Netflix as like a, you know, binge watch 10 episodes every year.
Yeah, and you already see a lot of shows and movies going that way. We already talked about the Marvel movies that are on Netflix. I mean, that's half the reason why they do that, is because it's like those stories are too complicated to tell in a movie form. You know, 90 minutes to 2 hours, that's not a lot of time to tell a full story. And so you can kind of already see a lot of studios go in that direction. But if you've seen The Dark Tower, or if you, you know, worried about the Justice League movie, or let us know what you think about the Disney streaming service. Connect with us on digital digital media, on social media. Frankie, what are the different media accounts where people can connect with us?
You can follow us on Twitter at @3CriticsPod, T-H-R-E-E, Critics Pod, or go on Facebook at facebook.com/TheIncredibleCritics.
And like I said, if you want us to talk about something, if you see something that you find interesting, let us know. Like I said, not that many people listen to us, so we'll probably talk about it. Also, on our Facebook, we try to post different things that we find interesting throughout the week. Last week, I posted a video about, not my video, but it was an article about the music from Dunkirk. If you've seen Dunkirk and want a kind of fascinating look into why it was produced the way it was, but check us out on Facebook and check out that video on Facebook, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sorry, part of the middle of that, my kids came upstairs to brush teeth.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Uh-huh.
So you're good.
And I was like, well, I was trying to like gently mute my
microphone. You did a good mute in the microphone. It wasn't that big of a deal. Like I noticed, but okay. It'll be fine. Hey guys.
Maybe that's because we're fathers, right. You know? Oh, we missed that segment where Frankie says something really weird about kids and then is like, I don't know. Is it true?
It's not my fault. I was raised weirdly.
I mean,
do you have to go, Ben? Is that what
you're
saying?
I'm mostly just shocked that Frankie doesn't have a child by now. I would have thought there would have been an accident in there somewhere.
I'm pretty sure there's not, so we're good. Good to go. Soon, guys.
You're like soon. You're like 80% sure.
We'll find
I'm
out.
I'm a solid
Who's
75%
to say?
Sure.
We'll find out.
But they
we'll find out next time on Incredible Critics.
Guys,
what does Maury have to say about this? We'll find out next week.
A little bit of insider baseball. Not a lot of people will get this reference, but do you know what today is the 8-year anniversary of? The corn phone.
No idea.
Oh my God, I forgot about
corn
the corn
phone.
I'm kind of mad he brought it back into my memory
banks. Corn.
Yep, 8 years ago today, hey. I purchased the Samsung Reclaim, a phone made of recycled water bottles and corn.